Well, hey everyone, welcome on over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being brought to you by EveryPlate. Now, within the last 24-ish hours, we've seen a lot of explosions taking place over inside Lebanon. Israel's done a pretty dang good job taking out a bunch of these Hezbollah fighters. And how good of a job have they done, you ask? Well, wouldn't you know it, I happen to have some up-to-date figures for you. So, according to this article from Reuters, which happens to be titled Hezbollah Handheld Radios Detonate Across Lebanon, this is coming out from this afternoon. It says, Lebanon's health ministry said that 14 people have been killed and 450 people injured on Wednesday, while the death toll from Tuesday explosions rose to 12, including two children, with nearly 3,000 injured. So that put the number right around 3,500 injured, with only two civilian casualties, it would look like, at least according to my count. So let's bring that in. I mean, those are reasonable civilian casualties, them being children. So I think that's a fair assessment. And we're going to actually talk about why that number is so low, number one, and what this actually means for the Israeli military, because truthfully, it looks like they're about to go into Lebanon. We can talk about all that and a little bit more going throughout this episode. Now, surprisingly enough, it wasn't just Hezbollah that ended up getting injured in the attack. No, no, no. For some reason, Iran's ambassador to Lebanon also happened to have a Hezbollah pager attached pretty close to his face, which means he likely picked it up to read a message when it detonated, taking out one of his eyes and severely injuring him. Now, apparently he is pretty much blind and they have medevaced him out to Iran. So he's left Lebanon and they are now confirming that he is en route and or flown off to Iran for more advanced medical treatment. This isn't a name. This is what he looks like. Truthfully, it's not surprising. As a matter of fact, when the Iranian foreign minister was over inside of Lebanon last time, I remember reports coming out of him actually being down towards the south and actually working hand in hand or speaking with people from Hezbollah. And it is not a secret that Iran and the IRGC have been supporting Hezbollah like a lot. And when I mean a lot, I mean a lot. Like literally flying in weapons and equipment to Beirut, as well as into homes over inside of Syria, and funneling all those rockets and munitions down into Lebanon, where they've been shot at Israeli territory. Because of the injury of the Iranian ambassador, which again, I don't know why Hezbollah is not talking about this crap, they are actually writing the UN and letting them know that they reserve the right to attack Israel for their Iranian ambassador being injured while holding onto a Hezbollah freaking pager. Yep, you got that right. They said, Excellency, I'm writing to bring to your Excellency's attention the cowardly and vicious terrorist attacks against Lebanese civilians and the act of aggression against the sovereign and territorial integrity of Lebanon carried out by the Israeli regime, which also targeted the Islamic Republic of Iran's ambassador in Lebanon. Now, clearly that was not Israel's intended target, but they're going to go ahead and list that anyways. But they're saying it was an intentional and wrongful act committed by the Zionist regime, and they're calling it terrorist in nature. Well, let's talk about specifically what they ended up doing and how they ended up accomplishing it. Not only did we have the pagers go off yesterday, but this morning during our live broadcast, we ended up having a bunch of you guys jump on being like, dude, radios are exploding, radios are exploding, radios are exploding. So we go over there and we check it out. And in fact, they are. And it looks like I said, a little over 400 that ended up being injured. But ironically, some of these freaking ICOMs actually ended up going off at a funeral. Now, I'm going to be going over all of that and explaining to you like the relatively low amount of explosives, like even inside of the radios that they actually had today in comparison to the pagers from yesterday. And it's pretty obvious when you watch a couple of these videos. Okay, this is a video of a Lebanese Hezbollah funeral that was taking place over inside of Lebanon just less than 24 hours after Israel's attack launched by the pager devices yesterday. But today during the funeral, as they're literally burying one of their fighters, this ends up going off in the middle of the funeral. And this is an ICOM that's detonating on a presumed Hezbollah fighter's hip. Now, interestingly enough, you see multiple uniformed personnel that are standing right there with their little red berets on. And to be truthfully honest, it kind of looks like they have road guard or what do we call them? Like the glow belts or the reflective belts or whatever around them as well. But I want you guys to pay attention to these two gentlemen up over here on the fence, because this is where one of those detonations is about to occur. Now, notice the close proximity of all the people standing around him, including the uniformed military personnel and the civilians. But you're going to notice that he is going to be the only one that ends up falling down to the ground, and there's no other casualties. Now, Now, if I pause it and freeze frame, what's really kind of like nice, and the reason I ended up showing this video is because it actually doesn't really show you that much. Like, it's really hard to make out. I'm pretty sure it's safe for watching and cool for YouTube and everything as well. But there's nobody else laying on the ground other than the one individual, and it's so far away that you can't even tell. But I promise you, he's like right over here in this general vicinity. There's nobody else there. He's not blown to bits. He's not in different parts and pieces. He's just there. And the soldiers that were standing next to him were just fine, and all the civilians that were standing next to him ran away. So they were left uninjured while this individual ends up being the one that's going down. Now, we can talk about why we actually think that Israel decided to detonate those radios today, just the day following after the pagers ended up going off. And the answer to that, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very simple. What the rumor is right now is that Hezbollah had figured this out and they started to dismantle a bunch of their stuff. And they were like, oh my gosh, Israel has infiltrated our communications platforms, so we need to start doing this. And that's actually also a rumor that's going around as to why Israel chose to detonate those pagers yesterday as well. Supposedly, Israel did not plan on detonating those devices until they had either crossed the border or launched their attack that's coming up on Hezbollah, which we are going to talk about here in just a couple minutes. But back to the actual seriousness and how, I guess, the amount of explosives, if you will, that were actually within these devices. Now, again, 450 injured today, approximately, in this attack. And I really don't think like we had that many more explosives inside these devices than we did yesterday. Yesterday, it came out to be like 20 grams of petin. But, you know, the important thing to understand about petin is it's going to need other explosives, you know, along it in order to kind of like set it off. It's petin's relatively stable. I mean, I'm going to use relatively stable, like the way it, but you still are going to need something to like kind of like boost it to set it off. So they likely had something else. But the cool part about all this, and I think what people need to understand when we start looking at this and talking about these different devices going off, and I'm surprised mainstream media hasn't brought this up yet, is these devices have been in Hezbollah's possession for a very long time. Now, Israel likely had intercepted both the ICOMs and the pagers in between like their original source and making their way into Lebanon. Highly doubt that they went to the originating source and ended up swapping all this stuff out. That's too many loose ends to tie. But different things like customs points, you know, different shipping locations, different hubs, things like that, where they're getting transferred from one location to the other. When they might be there overnight, Israel likely had access to them and was able to plant all of this crap in there. Now, supposedly one of those points of, you know, like, how do I want to say this? Transfer happened to be inside of Iran. And it is believed that that is where the Mossad agents or, you know, people that were working on behalf of Mossad were able to actually infiltrate this location, get a hold of these devices, swap everything out. But we're talking about thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you know, of devices likely that they ended up getting a hold of. So that's more than one to two people. That's a pretty large scale operation, particularly if it's being done overnight. So the real question is how did they kind of get that done? And that's the magic of the intelligence services is you don't get to know that answer, which I think is actually pretty dang cool. Now, another photo that ended up getting brought up is they were saying, look, the keypads are exploding. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a keypad exploding, okay? What you actually have here in this picture looks like some Hezbollah fighter ended up setting his radio down on top of the keypad device. You can actually see where the main blast took place, blowing the freaking metal box down, and we're likely damaging the keypad at that point. So yeah, keypads are not exploding. And just to be perfectly clear, also, there's another photograph that's rolling around of a toilet exploding. I'm sure if I went over, I could find it right now. Dude, the toilet didn't explode. And number one, there's like Chinese hieroglyphics or whatever the heck you want to call them. They're written on there on the wall over behind the toilet. Two, there you also have Braille on there. And then three, the explosion. Look, it doesn't matter. Okay, radios ended up exploding today, not toilets, not freaking keypads, nothing else, just ICOMs. And as a matter of fact, they're saying that they are outdated ICOMs. The version of the ICOM that ended up exploding reportedly is the ICOM ICV82. It is a discontinued radio system. So where they were getting from, hell, I don't know. But you can still find them over online, like relatively new or brand new, because they're just pumping these things out by like the tens of thousands. Nobody buys these pieces. Nobody cares other than like a bunch of terrorists. I don't like them. I think they're gigantic pieces of crap. Now, these devices were in the hands of Hezbollah for quite some time. We know that. It's just obvious, right? We can go back several months and say that these devices were in the hands of Hezbollah. Well, if you guys all go back and you remember, in August, Israel launched a preemptive strike on Hezbollah while they were setting up rockets and drones to shoot into Israel. I hope you guys all remember that because we did some pretty extensive reporting on it. And to remind you of it, it was actually on August 24th where Israel had struck Hezbollah. Now, reportedly, they were setting up like a crap ton of rockets to shoot in there. So Israel ends up launching this big airstrike. Hezbollah says they accomplished their job because they were able to crank off a couple rockets themselves. But ultimately, Israel ends up shutting this down and making it so it's relatively safe. Now, where do you think that they were getting a lot of that information? We talked a little bit about HUMINT and where it was coming from, but also you have signal intelligence. Now, here's the crazy thing. Let me tell you guys something. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I thought for dang sure, because I was only buying a little bit, that I would end up coming out under about $200. Now, I got a family of five that lives with me, right? Myself, wife, couple kids. Dude, listen to me when I tell you this. I thought that's where I was going to come at, but that's not what happened at all. My freaking mind was blown. And I got a limited shopping list. Like, the grocery prices right now are absolutely out of control. But I happen to know an awesome solution that's got your back, and that is EveryPlate. And forget that sticker shock, because EveryPlate meals start at only $2.99 per meal. And it makes sense why they're America's best value meal kit with thousands of great reviews. Meals end up being even more affordable than your fast food to go. And that's not a joke, all right? So I personally, when I go to a fast food restaurant, I end up spending for, again, a car full of wife and kids, right around about $50. When you take into account EveryPlate, obviously it's a heck of a lot cheaper than that. Like, I can literally feed my family fresh quality food than I could if I went to a fast food restaurant, and I can do it for way cheaper. And my favorite part is the family cooking experience. It gives my wife and I a chance to just stand around, sit and talk, and just go over our day while doing something like common together. And the best part about it is the kids are eating everything off of the plate. So if that sounds like something good for you, join EveryPlate today and pay only $2.99 per meal, plus get 50% off your first box for all box sizes. Get this amazing deal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code ROB299. That's code ROB299 at everyplate.com/podcast. Israel likely not only went in and put explosives into these devices. Like, it's pretty much, yeah, they did that. They did it. Okay, so they put explosives in these devices. I highly, highly doubt that they left it at only explosives. Likely inside of these devices, you're also going to end up having some sort of tracking software or capture, like, you know, signal capture equipment that's going to allow Israel to read and know pretty much everything that's going on. So I want you to picture being Hezbollah right now, knowing that not only your radios, but also your pagers that you had were completely and totally freaking infiltrated by the enemy, and you have no idea. And again, these are ICOM radios that we're talking about. These are like individual pagers. And so these pagers that the Israeli had, and these radios that the Israelis were able to get their hands on and get into Hezbollah's possession, you got to think about this. Just because a lot of their radios, because again, you know, Nasrallah came out today, says he's got over 200,000 fighters, but only like, you know, 3,500 people got blowed up in the last day or two. Cool. But what you got to remember and understand is out of those 3,500 radios, pagers, and all that stuff that ended up going boom, we also have transmissions that are coming in from other devices that are, you know, within their network. So they're pushing stuff across the radio. They're able to intercept that traffic. Guess what? Israel likely has more locations of Hezbollah's top leadership than they're actually letting on. And not just their top leadership, but also where all the rockets, their freaking mortars, their freaking troops, like where all their equipment's coming in, they know this stuff. And as a matter of fact, I think it was back in probably like May or June is when we actually started seeing Israel attacking Hezbollah fighters and the Hezbollah supply routes inside Syria coming down from Homs and up over into Lebanon. So that's pretty cool. Like, truthfully, if they actually had these devices planted at that time and they're able to gather all this information, now they're using it in order to attack them. So I am prophesizing this, and take my word on it. I promise you, this is going down. When Israel launches its strike into Lebanon, you are going to have one of the biggest shock and awe scenes that you have likely ever seen. It's going to be extremely effective because of these devices and because of this intelligence operation that got carried out by Israel. I mean, it's one for the record books, to be perfectly honest. Okay, so they're going to use all of the information that they gathered from these radios and from these pagers, and they're going to use that for targeting, which is going to bring me to my next point of what the heck is Israel going to do? Are they going to do a straight up on the ground invasion of Lebanon? Are they going to do a partial invasion of Lebanon, or are they going to just do an air campaign? Interesting. Let's talk about it. So this article from the Times of Israel, I feel like, did a pretty dang good job. It says, while still in Gaza, Israel has no good option in Lebanon, but it may invade Anyways, and they go down breaking through several of these things. One that they're talking about is like just a flat out full on invasion of Lebanon. Let's talk about why that is probably not one of the best ideas. This map is brought to you by ISW. I got it up on your screen right now. Here you've got the northern border of Israel. Okay. And also the Golan Heights, you know, attaching itself to Lebanon. Highlighted in blue right there is the Litani River. Litani River is kind of a key piece of terrain that Israel wants to keep in mind because they want to reinforce UN Resolution 1701. Now, if they were to do that, you're talking about approximately, you know, 30, 40 kilometers, like at most, away from the freaking, you know, border of Israel as it like begins to push up and go out. Right. So like, as we look at it, but I want you guys to remember this. I want you guys to remember this. In between there is an enemy that is extremely well dug in, and they've been there for a very hot minute. But the nice thing is Israel has all that information on Hezbollah that they've been collecting over the last several months. And we know they do because we can assess based off that airstrike or that air campaign that took place all the way back in August, like less than a month ago, that they were alerted about that attack before it actually took place and that they knew it was going to happen. And so they ended up dropping bomb after bomb after bomb on Hezbollah and just blasting them to hell. That kind of calmed them down a little bit now, didn't it? Now, where do you think they got a bunch of those locations for where all that stuff was from? And you got to figure they're moving all these things underground. Now, somebody was asking me yesterday about how do we know where their underground weapon storage facilities are? How do we know where they're keeping everything? On and on and on. This is one good way for them to know. So with that being said, their intent and what Netanyahu has stated this week is to be able to move the Israeli civilians back into the north who have been displaced ever since Hezbollah started attacking them on October 8th. So if that's what their intent and that's what their goal is, and they want to create a buffer zone in order to keep Hezbollah, because let's be honest, if Israel tried to wage a war against Hezbollah right now, you're talking about like, dude, years of war that Israel is going to end up partaking in. Okay. But if their goal, and they keep their mind on that goal, is just to get Hezbollah pushed back north of the Litani River in order to keep a buffer zone, in order to keep them from attacking them, well, then it becomes very feasible that all they have to do is launch a massive air campaign and just start bombing the crap out of them. As a matter of fact, it's being reported that a metric ton of civilians have already moved out of the south, and there's very few civilians remaining down there right now. So again, this opens up the possibility for an air campaign from Israel with zero ground invasion whatsoever. But do I think that is the only way that it's going to happen? Maybe not. I think the other way that this could actually end up happening is also, again, having that limited ground invasion inside of Lebanon. Why do I say I think that is a little bit of a possibility, at least for now? All right, now that we got the map finally adjusted and actually pulled up to where it should be, let's take a look at why that's actually probably a good possibility, because there's several areas that are like right up along the border that are very, very close to the Litani River. And I'm talking, you know, like 10 kilometers or so away, 5 to 10 kilometers or so away. So if it's that close to the river and Hezbollah's got to get pushed back to the other side, Israel's got a lot of freaking movement, okay, that they can do. They can come right up over in here and actually get up on there and go and actually start cutting and choking them off. Also, it gives them a chance to go in and collect intelligence. When I say limited ground incursion into Lebanon, I'm not talking about tanks. I'm just talking about people, okay, of a particular specialty that would be able to go in and collect a bunch of stuff that they wouldn't be able to get otherwise. This is a very good chance for Israel to do that. If Israel is worried, let's say they heard over the radios, for example, or they heard over the pager communications that Hezbollah may or may not have chemical weapons that are set up and ready to get used, or they've used code words that have alleged that through all sorts of different stuff. That may be something that Israel wants to prove to both the UN and like just the international community in general, that Hezbollah was able to acquire chemical weapons from Syria and had the intent to launch them on Israel. That would give them more proof for the future. So if that's the case, dude, they might not end up bombing those targets. They might end up leaving them or do limited bombing and go in and collect the actual evidence. There's a way to collect evidence of chemical weapons even after the detonation. So it is possible that Israel does do a limited ground incursion in order to do that. So there is your three different options, okay? A full-on ground invasion, which I don't think they're going to do because their purpose of doing a full-on ground invasion is essentially going to tie them into years. It would also open them up to an Iranian attack. Iran is like flat out, like if Israel invades Lebanon, they will attack. So I highly doubt this is going to be the option that they use. Or we have also, okay, the straight-up air campaign. And I think the straight-up air campaign is likely going to be Israel's best option in this, given the amount of intelligence they have likely already collected. And I think that air campaign likely is going to end up getting coupled with a little bit of, ground incursion by some special operations troops, depending on what intel Israel actually has and where those weapons might be located. Israel has been worried for years about chemical weapons inside of Hezbollah, and this would be a great chance for them to prove it if they are in fact on the ground. It would be awesome for them to be able to get that information and show it to the UN and be like, these pieces of crap were just aiming chemical weapons at our country. What the hell are you going to do about it? When are you going to start enforcing 1701? I think that's the time for them to come up and actually do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Please, if you haven't done it yet, like and subscribe to this channel. We give out daily broadcasts at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and nightly broadcasts, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Thursday. And when things go down like they did on Sunday, when, you know, like freaking Trump ended up like having another assassination attempt on his life, we're live with that, giving you guys up to date and like reporting as it's actually coming out. So appreciate you guys' support. Love you guys. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.